I always thought the story that was read to us this morning, that little snippet of scripture, was so amazing. How is it that you have two people who have spent years together, Moses and Joshua, and as they're coming down the mountain, they hear the same noise, exactly the same thing. One of them says, "I hear singing." The other one says, "There's war in the camp." How is that even possible? Because we often hear based on who we are, what's happening in our life. Today, even though this coming week is Veterans Day, Remembrance Day, I thought it was appropriate that we would spend time in the book of Joshua. Because Joshua was a man of war. He was a warrior of God's people. And I think one of the reasons why Moses heard singing while Joshua heard war was because of who they were. In fact, there's a wonderful scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 34 talking about the difference. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7 says, "Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor was his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. And now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." Moses, to me, seemed like a fatherly figure for all of Israel, while Joshua was a general of God's army. So when Moses was about to die, it wasn't because he was too elderly. It wasn't because he was ill. It wasn't because he was wore out. It was because God said, "You have done everything I've asked you to do, and now I'm going to be taking Israel in a different direction. And there's going to be a lot of battles going on. And Joshua is the man who is going to lead my people. And Moses, I can tell you right now, if you are still alive, the people are not going to listen to Joshua. Because you are their dad. I'm their God, but you are their dad. And even if Joshua is going to lead the people, they aren't really. You're going to have to come and be with me." I think Moses got the best deal out of it all. And Joshua is saying, "I am ready." Now, I don't often do this, but I just wanted to read to you something that I think is pretty cool. I don't read from commentaries very often in the sense of part of the sermon. But let me just give you a snippet into Joshua's life. And this really is the sermon, and then I'll just try to make a couple of points after this. Just, if you want to, close your eyes, no snoring allowed, but just listen to what this commentator says about Joshua. "Joshua's remarkable life was filled with excitement, variety, success, and honor." Isn't that beautiful? "He was known for his deep trust in God as a man in whom is the Spirit. As a youth, he lived through the bitter realities of slavery in Egypt, but he also witnessed the supernatural plagues and the miracle of Israel's escape from the army of the Egyptians when the waters of the sea opened before them. In the Sinai Peninsula, it was Joshua who led the troops of Israel to victory over the Amalekites. It's Joshua alone who was allowed to accompany Moses up to the holy mountain where the tablets of the law were received. And it was Joshua who stood watch at the temporary tent of meeting Moses set up before the tabernacle was built. Joshua was elected to represent his own tribe of Ephraim when the 12 spies were sent into Canaan to look over the land. Only Joshua and his friend Caleb were ready to follow God's will and take immediate possession of the land. The rest were condemned to die in the desert. Even Moses died short of the goal and was told to turn everything over to Joshua. God promised to guide and strengthen Joshua just as he had Moses. Joshua proved to be not only a military strategist in the battles that followed, but also a statesman in the way he governed the tribes. Above everything else, he was God's chosen servant to bring Moses' work to completion and establish Israel in the promised land. Last sentence. In that role, Joshua was striking. He was an Old Testament foreshadowing of Jesus Christ himself. Beautiful words. And Joshua was a wonderful man, and God spoke to Joshua at the beginning of his ministry with Israel. And let's just read some of this together. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Here is the command given by God to Joshua. It goes this way. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. Now, I want to stop before we read further. So far, this is just history, and it may not mean much. But think with me for just a moment. Israel has been in captivity. They were slaves for 430 years. Joshua was born as a slave. He was raised as a slave. His parents did not own Joshua. Pharaoh owned Joshua and every Israelite who was in captivity. 430 years of being a slave is the history of Israel. And then Moses comes with this wonderful news that we are going to be leaving and we're going to be moving out. It's estimated, and Scripture tells us this, that when they did leave their captivity, when they left Egypt, there were 600,000 men, not counting women and children, when they left. That's a lot of people. And besides that, it says, and many others went with them. Now, if you were an Egyptian and you had to survive the plagues as well as the Israelites, some of them would have said, you know, I think I'm going with them too. I'll be their slave if they want me to. I'm not going to live like this anymore. And off they went. So picture in your mind this leading out. And they all had this thought, we're heading to the promised land. But lessons are learned hard sometimes. And because of a continual difficulty, not worshiping God and always wanting to worship idols, they were on a 40-year journey to get to this promised land. And now here we are, just about ready to enter into this new land. But there's going to be some skirmishes along the way. And so God commissions Joshua to lead Israel into this promised land. And even though Joshua was a military man, he was a general of God's army, he needed to hear the following words. And let's pick it up, beginning in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1. Says this, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How often have we heard those words? And then he says this, be strong and courageous. Don't we need to hear these words today? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You need to be strong. You need to be courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. And then he says again, be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And then he says these brilliant words. Have I not commanded you? And Joshua says, yeah. Then these words. Be strong and courageous. Already said those words. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Okay, aren't these words for us? Aren't these words for us this very day? Have I not told you I will be with you? Have I not said to you, I will be with you always? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Have I not asked you to be strong and courageous? Then I'm telling you, don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. Because I am your God, and I am with you wherever you go. I'm ahead of you. I'm with you. I'm behind you. I will never leave you. Be encouraged by these words. Now, even though this is generations before the birth of Jesus, and then later the church comes, we are reminded of this by the wonderful warrior of God, the Apostle Paul, who says this in 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us, and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. He doesn't say, I will occasionally send you encouragement. It is an eternal encouragement. And then later, Paul says again to a different church, Romans chapter 15 and verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. It's beautiful words, encouragement, a spirit of unity as we all follow Jesus himself. Well, I wish we had time to do this, but we don't. Just if you have the time to read the book of Joshua, it's exciting if you like battle scenes. If you don't like battle scenes, just go like I'm going to do. Just go to the end of the book. And at the end of the book, it's very similar to the end of the life of Moses. Joshua is now an older man. And in Joshua 24, he knows his time on the earth is short. What Joshua is going to do is very interesting. He reminds all the people that it was God who rescued them out of slavery, that it was God who brought them to this new land, that it was God who gave them freedom, that it was God who gave them plenty of food, that it was God that said, relax, marry, have children, worship God, settle in the land, and follow God. He leaves them with this message. And then he does this. Joshua knows he's going to leave, and he challenges them. And we're going to listen to that challenge today. And I'm going to ask you to use your imagination. I'm going to ask you to pretend that you are there. And you're going to hear these words. Our wonderful leader Moses is gone. Our wonderful leader Joshua is no longer going to be with us. We've got the tribe set up, the city sort of set up, but we're feeling a little uneasy about it. And we know that Joshua has reminded us to be encouraged, that God's always with us. So he gathers them all together, and he, he says these words in Joshua chapter 24, verses 1, just verse 1. He says this: "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem." I'm going to reread that this way. "Then Joshua assembled the church of Christ in Beamsville all together. And he summoned the elders," come on up, elders, just kidding, "the leaders and the judges and the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God." So this is an intimate meeting that God has asked us to be part of. And then he says a number of things, but I'm going to pick it up in verse 14. And then he says this: "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." This is Joshua speaking to us. "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." But look, let's be honest. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But I want to tell you, Joshua says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua is confident that even after he goes, his household is going to serve the Lord. Then the people responded to him, our words: "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. We won't do it. It was the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." And I'm wondering if you want to say those words out loud with me this morning, if you agree with it. I wonder if you want to repeat these words: "We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." If you're willing, say it with me: "We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." So Joshua says to the people, "No, you're not. You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins." Skipping down to verse 21. But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." And if you're willing to say that, let's read that together. "No, we will serve the Lord." Now let's say it the way it was written with an exclamation point. "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua says, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." In other words, I heard you, everybody heard you, and the people said, say it with me, "Yes, we are witnesses." "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, and let's say this out loud, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." God bless all of us.